Well, happy Wednesday evening. Now that you're seated, let's rise together and declare God's word. We'll have a new one beginning this Sunday, but I love this scripture. We've been decreeing this together throughout the month, hiding it in our hearts. Let's do it again tonight. Colossians 2:9. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. One more time. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Him, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. And indeed He is. Amen. Let's give Jesus another hand. I want to remind you this Saturday morning, we'll be having our monthly prayers for healing service. And this is a special time. All we do is meet and pray for people, and we'll have chairs here in this altar. And normally, we have a number of people from that are not part of Grace House that come. They hear it on the radio, and we gather around them and pray for God to touch them and heal him, because He tells us to do that in His Word, and He is our healer, and He heals people. So I've just seen that across the years. The more people that we pray for healing, the more healing we're going to see. He's the healer. We're not. So no pressure on us to heal anyone. But we are to be obedient and honor His Word and obey His Word. So that's what this coming Saturday morning for an hour, 9 to 10, it's kind of come and go. And you are invited to come if you need prayer for healing. Well, do any of you have anything nibbling on you tonight? Anything eating away at you tonight? I ran across this scripture in the last couple of weeks, and I just kept myself being drawn back to it. And so I want to talk tonight about the nibblers. The nibblers. And we're going to step into the Song of Solomon for a verse. And of course, the Song of Solomon is really it's a love letter between a lover and his beloved. And this scripture also relates to that about keeping our love life, our relationship with the people we love, operating as it's supposed to. But sometimes it's the little things that ultimately cause the biggest problems. Let's look at God's Word. Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. So let's just step right into the middle of this love letter. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now, you probably wouldn't write that in a love letter that you were writing, but Song of Solomon's very poetic. It's very, I got a lot of metaphor in it. It's beautiful. There's so many applications between Christ and His beloved, His bride, the church, and on from there. But tonight, this idea of the writer just saying, catch us the foxes. Why? Why do you want to catch the foxes? Because we got grapes on the vine, and they'll spoil it if we don't deal with them. The little foxes, they'll spoil the vines. So that's kind of the meat of what I'm sharing tonight about how little things can cause big problems, and how taking care of the little things while they're still little can prevent big problems from occurring in our lives. And the Bible has a lot to say about little things. Good, the good little things, and bad, the bad little things. Jesus tells us that a little mustard seed, just a little bitty seed, has within it the potential to move a mighty mountain. So a little thing can be the beginning of something big, great, and wonderful. But But sometimes, just a little thing, just a minor thing, a small thing, can be the beginning of something that proves to be extremely disastrous. So, let's kind of break this apart and talk about it a little bit. And we use different expressions to kind of relate a similar message. I'll start it and you finish it. A stitch in time saves nine. Now, for a lot of my younger years, I said that not even knowing what it meant. But as I've gotten older, I realize, yeah, if when something starts coming unraveled, if you'll stitch it up right then, a stitch in time, it'll save you from having to do nine more stitches. Right? I mean, that's what it means. A stitch in time saves nine. What about this one? You've got a hitch in your get-along. Now, you start going north and start saying that, you're going to get strange looks. You got a hitch in your get-along. Well, what does that mean? It basically means something's hindering you. Something's holding you back. You're not moving forward like you ought to be moving forward. And, of course, it goes back to the horse and wagon days. And then you're one brick shy of a load. You know, you're almost at your breaking point, or you're not quite measuring up. We have all these quotes. But this is one, the little foxes spoil the vines. Have you ever had a dripping faucet in your house? It can drive you almost mad, can't it? Especially in the dead of night. You know, it needs fixing. It needs fixing. And here's an example, because I did a little Google and math. If you take a dripping faucet that drips like one drip a second, that's 259,200 drips a day, which equals 17.1 gallons of water a day. In a year, that's 6,248.9 gallons of water down the drain. And that means 390 showers you could have taken with that water. Just drip, drip, drip. Similarly, in our lives, there can be those little things that we're just ignoring, refusing to deal with. It's going to end up costing us more than we realize it will. And it'll be more than a larger water bill. So let's break this down. At first he says, catch us the foxes. In other words, you need to catch the fox before it can get to the vine. And you want to catch it in order to keep the grapes and the vine from being spoiled. So this, the idea of catching the fox is really an idea of prevention, to keep something from happening. And then there's the idea of protecting. You want to keep it from happening because you want to protect your future harvest. And sometimes we lose our future harvest because we're not paying attention to the little things in our life. Now, usually when there's big things, big crises, people tend to pull together. 9-1-1. When the Twin Towers fell, for a shorter period of time, our nation came together. It didn't matter what political party you were in. It didn't matter what state you were from. It didn't matter the color of your skin or any of that. Because the crisis tends to bring people together in those big events. People will rally. But the little woodpeckers, the nibblers, the little foxes will eat at you. It separates people. Our nation's divided politically. Now, it's pretty much always been that way, and that's kind of, there's a check and balance in that. But That's all I'm going to say about that, because I tend to be one-sided in my thinking for sure. I'm more conservative. But it's the little things that can spoil our relationship. It's the little things that can bring ruin in our life. And there's so many examples of how that operates. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, when anger starts rearing its head, deal with it quickly. It's the same idea here. The little foxes spoil the vines. Catch the foxes. Take care of the foxes before they bring trouble into your world. So that's the idea here in Song of Solomon 2:15. We're to be on the lookout. We're to be on guard, ready to seize that little thing that has the potential to destroy that big thing that we're trying to grow and to cultivate and develop. A call to catch the foxes. If you were just real honest tonight, what's the fox you need to catch? What's the fox trap you need to set? What's the little thing that tends to deal you the most trouble in this season you're in right now? What causes your blood pressure to go up? What winds you another turn? What thing keeps stepping on your last nerve? Little fox. Get him while he's little. He's harder to deal with when he gets big. And if you don't deal with him soon enough, he's going to spoil your vine, and then he'll come back to get something else, so he'll be bigger next time. So this really is a sober and serious call for us. And again, there's so many applications. The small leak under the sink before it becomes a big hole in the floor. And, you know, most of us have been guilty. I'll get around to that. I'll deal with that later. You know, the plumber's house that leaks and the carpenter's house that needs fixing. Don't say anything, Mickey. Okay. If you like your car, and you pull your car out of the garage and you see it's dripping oil. Drip, drip, drip. If you don't deal with it, one day your motor's going to seize and you're going nowhere. Same, apply that principle to your relationships. Apply that principle to your spiritual walk with the Lord. What's a little fox that's hindering you? What's the thing that's holding you back? What's the thing nibbling at your heels, so to speak? And deal with that. An unpaid bill that keeps going unpaid becomes a foreclosed mortgage or something like that. And sometimes just dealing with a little fox by using the axe called forgiveness and lay it to the root of bitterness and unforgiveness can spare your harvest. Because I'm going to talk about the different kinds of little foxes in just a moment. Right now we're just talking about catching those suckers before they create issues in our life. Small things can turn into huge things if we ignore them for too long. It's just the truth. So deal with it now, and you save yourself a lot of pain around the curve. Some simple things to keep in mind. Be aware of your irritations. Be aware of those little things. Sometimes the little thing is something you're not doing. I love you, sweetheart. Have a good day today, honey. Of course, I'm talking about the people that's supposed to be your sweetheart and supposed to be your honey. You're with me on that. And be honest with yourself about these areas and issues. We all have our idiosyncrasies, don't we? I call mine idiosyncrasies. And I have them. And Mickey helps them with me. Helps me with them. I'll give you And it's not a bad thing, but it's just one that I've learned. We'd be ready at bedtime, and like she may say, well, I've locked the doors. And I may have an hour earlier been in the kitchen and checked them while I was there. But before I go to bed, I'm going to check the locks. I mean, the last thing before I go to bed. And it bugs me that I do that because I know that she said they're locked, and I know I saw an hour earlier they're locked, but I'm going to check them. That's one of my idiosyncrasies. But I just accept that God's made me a protector. And I need to do that to feel like I'm being responsible and doing my job. Okay? It has nothing to do with the fact that she's told me whether she's locked it or not. Is that the truth? That's the truth. You probably got things like that, and she's accepted that about me. Well, he's going to check them. You know? But we have our idiosyncrasies, and sometimes we learn to live with those. And so I'm not necessarily talking about those. I'm talking about those things that are actually going to do damage. Our personalities are different. We carry on conversations differently. We dress differently. We look differently. And we're unique in that way, each of us. But I'm talking about the little things that we just keep doing and doing and doing that are nibbling and are tearing into the bark and are pulling up a root and are getting into the future harvest. And we have to own those. We have to own those. But it's not enough just to identify it and be honest about it. You've got to act on it. What can I do to change? You know? And take action on that. And then when you start taking the steps to do that, that involve actually making the change, you have to keep doing it and be persistent until it becomes a part of who you are. There's some areas in our life we don't need to settle with, well, that's just the way I am. You've got to live with it. It's like the story that we've heard, you know, with the woman and the man and the woman gets married and they're driving away in their buggy back in the horse and buggy days, and he looks at her and says, now I told you I loved you back there at that altar. If I ever change your mind, I'll let you know. You know, I like that commitment, but that's nonsense. I've said it once, I won't ever say it again. You know, there's little things. We need to be communicating to our spouses, to our friends, to encourage, to express appreciation and express affection and so forth. So let's work on those. So we want to identify, because he says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. So those little foxes have to be identified. This speaks of the little varmints, you know, that would chew the vines up or would eat the grapes off the vines. I got muscadine vines in my backyard, and last year I had a good many of them one day, and I went out the next day and they were all gone. I don't know if it was a herd of deer that came through that were hungry for muscadines or what, but they just like evaporated. And I got a bunch of them this year, and so I've been sprinkling Irish Spring liquid soap around outside my vines because I read on Google in a bunch of places that deer don't like that smell. So they're still out there, so I'm giving it a whirl with that. I don't want my vines to be spoiled. I don't want to lose that fruit. Although I can't eat them right now because I'm on keto. Bad timing. Little things can cause big problems. I mentioned this one time when it first happened, that here in North Alabama on July the 5th, there was a snake that got into a power station and shut down the electricity, taking 19,000 people, the electricity went off for 19,000 people. That was in the Boaz area. A little snake or a snake got into a power station and affected electricity in 19,000 homes. July the 20th, it happened again in Athens, Alabama. And many, many people lost their power. And they found out a snake got into the substation. Very rare occurrence. August the 11th, it happened again for the third time in North Alabama, in Decatur. Over 14,000 people lost their electricity because a snake got into a substation. A little thing can cause big problems for lots of people. Now, we are a prophetic people, and I imagine some of you are already on that, right? Three times a snake got into the place of power and shut it down. In North Alabama, three times? That's not barely, barely. That's barely, barely, barely. And you see that in Scripture about things coming three times. It's kind of like... So, to me, I think there's some kind of message in that. We need to be careful. We don't let the snake... And let's just apply it in different areas. Snake slither into your marriage and shut down the power of grace that's needed for that marriage to be what it ought to do. Get into your family and shut down the power of intercession you need for over your children. Get into your business, shut down the power and favor of God that's needed for you to prosper. To get into our churches and shut down what the Holy Spirit's doing in saving people, healing people, and delivering people. You remember the whole problem originally started with a snake getting into the garden and shut down the flow of power into the first man and woman. And now we're still dealing with the curse today because of it. It's the little foxes that can cause the biggest problems. That suggestive text that gets your mind thinking, what's he thinking? Or what she's thinking. And then you respond, and then it grows from there. And then the next thing you know, a few months down the road, there's an affair that's happening. The little things will cause the biggest problems. That misspoken word that you didn't follow up and apologize for, and now it's festered for 3 or 4 weeks. And now brick by brick, that wall's being built. And now there's a hardness around the heart. And resentment has set in. And you wonder, what's happened in our home? What's happened in our marriage? The little things. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Deal with it quickly. Mickey and I made a commitment to that years and years ago. And there's been a number of times that, you know, at bedtime, we just got to get right. Been a few times we've laid there awake for quite a while. But it's a scriptural principle. Deal with it quickly. Deal with it in its infancy. Don't let it grow. Don't let it fester. Don't let it get rooted. The little foxes spoil the vine. Maybe let's talk about some different kinds of little foxes. And with in mind maybe some of what Solomon's thinking about relationships and so forth. A quick temper. In a few seconds, you can do damage that may take years to bring complete recovery. I have seen families not speak to one another, and I've heard the stories in altars and in dealing with people where they had not spoken in years because someone lost their temper and in 20 seconds released a bunch of venom verbally. And the family stayed separated for years until finally somebody decided, you know what? I'm going to put on my Christian pants today and be a big boy or a big girl and humble myself and repent and ask for forgiveness. Quick temper. stretching the truth, lying, telling a lie to save you hide, you know, those kind of things. Little things can lead to bigger things. It will reproduce itself. A vulgar mouth. And that's one thing that's disappointing me today in media is how people can't complete a sentence without a curse word. It's sad. I used to work construction. And my ears have been, they've heard it all. But just on basic television now, it's like, I don't hear people out in the world, I don't think, talking as bad as they're cramming it in there. Because there's so much power in our words. And Christians, we're supposed to speak, having our speech seasoned with grace. And there's, when it comes to that, there are some big boy words. You know what I'm saying? Don't use God's name in vain. You're basically speaking a curse when you use the word that implies bringing damnation on people in the name of God. It's a little thing, but you're sowing seeds in the word. You're sowing seeds in the ears of your children. You're sowing seeds in the ears of your spouse, your employees, your friends. A lustful eye. If you follow your eyes, you know, if you let your heart follow your eyes, if you got a lustful eye, you can end up in trouble. Feed your mind. When lust causes us to feed our minds off-limit thoughts. A greedy heart. Willingness to help, hurt other people to help yourself, to gain for yourself. A willingness to deny the needs that you could meet in the lives of other people. Too much to drink. In other words, looking for an escape through a bottle or through a pill to not deal with the things that we need to deal with in our lives. It just postpones having to deal with those things. Not only will it ultimately postpone, but if you continue, it will multiply the problems. You don't drown your sorrows that way. You create more sorrows. The Bible talks about don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. And that could be applied to anything that causes us to become uninhibited and not in charge of our faculties. Little foxes, if they get in, they won't just say, I'm satisfied, I don't want to munch on anything else. They're going to go for other areas of your life. The little foxes, they spoil the vine. A nasty habit. I used to, when I was working construction, and I loved to chew tobacco. Matter of fact, in high school, my senior year, get some of the guys on the baseball team, including the coach, they chewed Beechnut or Red Man. And that just, I mean, you look up to those folks. And I said, I want to try me some of that. It was terrible, but I made myself to get where I could chew it because I wanted to be like the team. But I eventually had to let that go. Number one, it caused my heart to race. Couldn't chew, you know, that the Lord, well, I had to stop. Number two, my wife didn't like kissing me. I'm talking about dealing with those things that keep us from being our best selves. Those things that keep us from being healthy and whole. Little foxes. Deal with them. Move on. A rude mood. Mama ain't happy. A judgmental attitude. You know, sometimes we can go through seasons where we need our noses whittled off a little bit, right? Looking down our long noses at people and judging them. Maybe a jealous streak in your life. I'm talking about way over bounds. I think there's a healthy jealousy that's got protection and love behind it. I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about that green-eyed one. You know, jealousy and envy. An uncontrollable appetite, except for chocolate ice cream. But most of us have areas where, you know, I like you, I have to work on that. You know what I'm learning, again, I'm trying to shave a few pounds, is it the way you put it on is the way it comes off. One meal at a time. You know, one bite at a time, and it's slow. Selfishness, ignoring others, gossiping, laziness. These all can have attributes of being the little foxes that keep us from preventing and protecting and guarding our future harvest. So catch those foxes and deal with those foxes. Spoiled vines, that's the sad part of this, is somebody has planted, they've cultivated, the rain has come, they've worked hard, they've waited. But then, sometimes overnight, that little fox can come in. And there goes the harvest. So we have to be alert and be on guard, because this he says here about the tender grapes in verse 15, he says, "For our vines have tender grapes." And we want to apply that spiritually. You know, we've got the grapes in place, and there can be some new wine that's about to be poured out. Watch out for the little foxes. Harvest, getting close to harvest town for you. You've fought, you've cultivated, you've stood. But keep guarding, keep guarding things, keep preventing, keep moving, keep watching for those foxes. And deal with them. It's not like, well, I'm going to have a week and I'm going to deal with all the little foxes and then I won't ever have to do that again. Nope, doesn't work that way. There's another hole of foxes that'll take the place of those, right? Until Jesus comes back, there's going to be foxes, having foxes. There's going to be a bunch of little foxes. But it's the guarded vine that's going to yield the biggest and best grapes. The ones that's been guarded, protected, nurtured, cultivated, they're going to bring forth the best grapes. So what's hindering you from what you could have? What's holding you back from being a better you that you could be? What's nibbling at you that you could decide tonight, you know what, I'm tired of this nibbler, and I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to face it. You see, I believe God, when we get to that point of taking that step of faith, Lord, by your grace, then that grace will be there. Because faith activates grace in that circumstance. By faith, okay, Lord, you know, I've had a problem with this, and it's hard, but by faith tonight, I'm going to deal with this little fox. And in dealing with it, I'm also going to have the faith to know, because I am, I can see that future harvest that's going to come as a result of dealing with this thing that's been holding me back, that's been hindering me, or has been shutting me down. The devil does not want you to enjoy those grapes. And he knows the way to keep you from enjoying those grapes is to nibble on those vines. There's going to always be temptation around the area where God's got you working for your future harvest. I don't like my job. I don't like my employees. I don't like my employer. You know, things would be great if it wasn't for just this one person. Or if she would do this, I would be, or if he would just do that. it always has to start right here. What can I do? What can I do? What do I have a choice concerning controlling it? Sometimes we want to try to control other people to get an outcome when what we need to do is work on this, and it will change our outcome. The little foxes spoil the vines. So, catch us some foxes. The little foxes, they spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. So we decree and declare tonight in this house that there's some tender grapes on our vines, and we're going to be more alert, and we're going to be ready to catch us a fox. It's much, much smarter to catch the fox prior to its entering the hen house. Right? So let's catch us some foxes. Would you stand with me tonight? Let's decide we're going to deal with the little things before it becomes a big thing. Let's decide we're going to look in the mirror, look at our issues, maybe get us some tissues, and go to work in Jesus' name. Let's raise our hands. Father, here we are. No one knows us like you do, Holy Spirit. Convict us, challenge us, and Lord, may our faith rise up to change. Lord, I do pray soberly and seriously now for everyone in this room, whatever area they may be dealing with, I ask that you would move by the power of your Holy Spirit based on the truth of your word. And confirm your word, Lord. Just release the grace to deal with the little foxes. What's yours? I'll think about what mine is. You take a moment, think about what yours is. And let's ask God to help us with it. Let's repent of it. If it's gone on too long, let's just repent of that. Let's ask God to help us. And let's commit to stepping into that place of grace by faith and seeing our lives made the better for it. Lord, I pray there would be also an anointing of healing that would accompany these decisions. Where damage has been done, where harvest has been lost, where fruit has spoiled, where plans have failed to come to pass, where dreams may have died. I pray right now, Lord, that there would be grace in the room. By your Spirit, there would be grace in this room for things to be made alive again, for the irritations to be laid at the feet of Jesus, for the foxes to be caught and laid at the feet of Jesus. Oh Lord, hear our prayers of repentance now. Add grace to our prayers of faith. Change us, O Lord. Change me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord, to be a better husband, a better father, a better pastor, a better son, a better friend. Let's each just bring our own hearts before the Lord in this way and ask for His help. Whatever it is, Lord, help me with my temper. Help me with those lustful thoughts. Help me with whatever it may be. Just turn that into a prayer. Convert it into a prayer and get some grace to deal with it and be the better for it. Be the wiser for it. See more clearly because of it. Lord, I thank you that where honesty and humility are gathering in hearts in this room right now, I believe by faith you are moving, you are working, you are helping, you are strengthening. And you are infusing with the power from on high, Lord, giving us what we need to deal with what we need to deal with. So be blessed, be loosed, be made whole. May the Spirit of God just come upon you now and impart to you what you are needed. Release within you what you are needing. Can you just lead us in a verse? And let's just worship as we process this in our hearts and respond in our hearts and just in an atmosphere of worship just for a few more moments, and let the Spirit of God just minister to you. With you.
The more I love,
may He touch that area of need for you right now.
I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your
hand. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask some of our prayer team members just to be here in this altar. The worship's going to continue. This altar is open for you. Just going to have them continue to play and sing. But thank you for being here tonight. May you have a wonderful rest of the week. If you need prayer for healing, here's Saturday morning. Invite a friend to come with you this Sunday morning. I love you all. I thank you so much for coming to our midweek worship service. And I pray that the Spirit of God just blesses your socks off this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here. If you need prayer, please come on up right now. God bless you. Love you all.